privilege to come before you, Lord. Just another week in the flesh, Lord. But with you, it's your mercies are new every morning, Lord. It's a continual relationship, Lord. And we pray that you would just move greater in our life, Lord, to fulfill the promises, Lord, that you give us. May you be with us this time, Lord. May you be honored in our worship and our words that are spoken, Lord. May you be glorified in all. Be with those that have requests upon the hearts, Lord. We hold them before you. Be with each one, Lord. Feel each situation, each need, Lord. Only you can feel. And give you thanks and praise for all you do for us. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Okay. Amen. So, listening to this song, I wonder if we could sing it. Were you washed by the water of the word? I think it's not a good book, but I mean, I can share this with you.
Last stage, we have caught the revelation by the we are bought with a price, and we have been redeemed by our God, who's the original life, the original life, the original seed, the original word is what I believe. The Son of Man is redeemed, the seventh seal is unveiled. Victory is ours, who were chained down in the past. The Jubilee has sounded and called out our name. Praise the Lord, the original life, the original life, the original seed, the original word is what I believe.
Said this is the seed chapters, the seed day, this day. Amen.
Amen.
Come back to the full seed again. Amen. I guess we can have the kids think about their verses they're going to say. And while they're thinking about it, I'll read this, poem, I guess. Someone, you've probably heard this before, but the greatest man in history, Jesus, had no servants, yet they called him master. Had no degree, yet they called him teacher. Had no medicines, yet they called him healer. Had no army, yet kings feared him. He tried to put all the males to death. Mm-hmm. He won no military battles, yet he conquered the whole world. He did not live in a castle, yet they called him Lord. He ruled no nations, yet they called him King. Died on the cross. They put the King of the Jews, and then they tried to change it. They said, nope, it's already there. He committed no crime, yet they crucified him. He was buried in a tomb, yet he lives today. Amen.
You're right.
What an honor it is to be a child of the King. Amen. We should be a good one to sing, actually, but I think it's maybe kind of hard to put it in. But kids, want to do your verses? All right.
With God, nothing shall be impossible.
Good.
All good gifts come from above.
Yes.
Amen.
Hey, that's right. What you want to sing? Okay, let's try that one. I can remember the words. Be careful.
Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above is looking down in love. So be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. For the Father up above is careful, little mouth, what you say. Be careful, little mouth, what you say. For the Father up above is looking down in love. So be careful, little mouth, what you say.
What you think?
Be careful, little mind, what you think. Be careful, little mind, what you think. For the Father up above. careful, little one, what you think.
Feet.
So be careful, little feet, where you go. Be careful, little feet, where you go. For the Father up above is looking down in love. So be careful, little feet, where you go.
Still working on me.
He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me.
One more time.
He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. Still working on me.
Mr. We have come into his house. E flat.
We have come into his house to magnify his name and worship him. We have come magnify his name and worship him. We have come into his house to magnify his name and worship Christ our Lord. Oh, worship him, Jesus Christ. Concentrate on him and worship him. So forget about yourself. Concentrate on him and worship Christ the Lord. Oh, worship him, Jesus Christ.
To come and let's just sing that chorus. Lord, feed your children.
Lord, feed your children as we stand here willing to eat from
Let's pray. Father, we are indeed wanting to feast, Lord, from your supply. And we know, Lord, that you always have something for your children. Every mealtime, Lord, you provide. We're glad we're not dependent on a man, Lord, to provide. Even though you've used men to declare your word, Lord, we're not dependent on men, but on you, Lord. We thank you for this word you've given us. May you bless it to our hearts this morning to wash us as we sing, wash us by the word, Lord. Make us to be identified in this perfect age, Lord. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. And I'm going to try to do something here real quick. See if this works. All right. Good. Nice and big so I can read it, so nice and big so y'all can read it too. And that way we'll be on the same position. But we'll just try it, see how it goes. We're glad to be back. I'm glad to see y'all this morning. We're just happy to be a part of his word. And his word is always moving. It's always going on. So we are too. We're always moving. And like the children of Israel, there was no question about it. When it was time to move and the pillar of fire was going to move, they moved. They did it in a certain way too. Every time they went to move, there was a way that they did it. And it went by the proper people to move it and to do these things, everything. And God has it all laid out today for exactly the way he's moving in his word. And we ought to take some time sometime to talk about that pillar of fire, because it's really good. Brother Bram talked about it appearing and going away and things like that. It's pretty good. Anyways. All right. I talked about last week, we talked about apocalypse, which and what it meant. And we also talked about the seventh seal being the end of all things, and yet it's his coming. Both. And so we're going to go over those. I mentioned them. And then we're going to take it just a little further, if the Lord willing. So, but I want to background one quote here before we start. When Jesus returns to the earth, the Jews, what are they? The eunuchs of the temple. And when Jesus returns, he comes with his bride. He comes with her. Now remember that, with her, because he's going to tell you about the three comings here in a second. When he returns to earth, he comes with her. Jesus comes three times. He come the first time to redeem his church. He comes the second time to receive his church. And he comes the third time with his church. So, but I want you to notice something. How long did it take before that first coming took place? 4,000 years went by. Brother Bram said all those prophets were coming and laying out that word, because that word is what he was going to fulfill. So they were coming and their lives were bringing forth types and bringing forth the Bible that was going to be fulfilled after 4,000 years. And so after he come and he redeemed us, then how long did it take for that redemption to be applied? It took 2,000 years for that redemption to be applied. And Brother Bram talked about that those... That was happening during those times. We'll get to that in a minute. He'll mention what that was in just a minute. But then, after he comes and receives her, what happens after that? Or he comes and receives her the second time. Will it take some time for him to receive her? It took 4,000 years to bring the first coming. It took 2,000 years to bring the second coming. And it's going to take a little time for that third coming. That's what Brother Branham is saying right here. And what we talked about this morning, the washing of the water of the word. And so Brother Branham said repeatedly that once those seals were open, that time fades into eternity. He said it more than one time, that it fades into eternity. Use that word. He used another word too, and I can't think of it right this minute. But he talked about ushering. He said the seventh seal is the ushering in. It ends the ushering in of the millennium. So all of these things are taking place. So let's look at, we looked at these three comings. Now I want you to see what he's talking about on these comings. He just laid it out. Redeem, receive, and the third time he comes with her. So then he says, it's exactly. So it's all one perfect coming. Because who is it that's coming? It's Jesus Christ is coming. And that's the book. The whole book has been the revelation of Jesus Christ. So it's all one perfect, great, perfect coming. It's all one great, perfect God. It's all one great, perfect Christ, one perfect church, one great, perfect redemption, everything. It comes a Trinity, but it's all in one. So it plays out in these three parts, but it's all the same thing. That's what we don't want to miss. Okay. See, it's not three people, not three this. It's just one person. One church, one body, one Christ, one Lord in all, through you all. And so forth like that. All one. All right. So now, how he's going to do that? How is he going to do that? That was the thing, see? All right, so we're going to come over here into the Church Ages book. This is at the very beginning here. This book is usually termed the Revelation of St. John. Now, when he's talking about the book here, he's not talking about the Bible. He's talking about Revelations. When you hear him talking about the book in this one. The book is usually termed the Revelation of St. John, but that is incorrect. It is the Revelation of Jesus Christ, given to John for Christians of all ages. It is the only book in the entire Bible that is written by Jesus himself through personally appearing to a scribe. No other time. Every time. All the other ones were done how? It come through a prophet. But the book of Revelations wasn't that way. You know what I'm saying. Come through the prophets through the ages there. This one he come told them and they wrote it down. It is the last book of the Bible. Yet it tells the beginning and the end of the dispensations of the gospel. Beginning and the end. Now the Greek word for revelation is apocalypse, which means unveiling. So the apocalypse, a lot of people try to make it this other thing, which there will be an end of all things. But to us, it's an unveiling, which means unveiling. This unveiling is perfectly described in the example of a sculptor. This Revelation, he's still talking about the book of Revelations, and he's giving you some very good points here. This unveiling is perfectly described in the example of a sculptor unveiling his work of statuary, exposing it to the onlooker. He hasn't done that. He's been doing it slowly, slowly. It is an uncovering, revealing what was previously hidden. It's been hidden the whole time. It wasn't uncovered in the garden and then covered back up and then uncovered again. If you take an idea and you start running it through the message, you'll find out whether it's the truth or not. It is an uncovering, revealing what was previously hidden. Now, the uncovering is not only the revelation of the person of Jesus, of Christ. It's not only that, this uncovering. It's not just the person of Christ. But look what the rest of it is. But it is the revelation of his future works in the oncoming seven church ages. So it's that unfolding too, not just the person of Christ. And we skipped some space in there to save some time, but you go back and read in between there. Brother, he talks about Satan hating the book of Revelations and the book of Genesis because it talks about his beginning and his ending. And you will recall that I mentioned at the beginning of this message that this book we are studying is the actual revelation of Jesus himself in the church. So he just said that a while ago when he said that this uncovering. So the uncovering is not going to happen till the end. No matter how many church ages went by, he's showing a little bit here and there, but he's not uncovered it till the end. You will recall what I mentioned at the beginning of the message, that this book we are studying is the actual revelation of Jesus himself in the church and his work in the future ages. And then I mentioned that it takes the Holy Spirit to give us revelation, or we will fail to get it. If people would get that before they got pretty much anything else, that would help them so much. Bringing these two thoughts together, what two thoughts is he bringing together? That God's revealing himself through the church, and that's what this book is about, and that it takes revelation. Bringing these two thoughts together, you will see that it won't take just ordinary study and thinking to make this book real. It is going to take the operation of the Holy Ghost. That's what it has always been. It is going to take the operation of the Holy Ghost. That means this book can't be revealed to anyone but a special class, those that he's going to reveal it to. It will take one with prophetic insight. So it's going to take a prophet too. We know that. It will take one with prophetic insight. It will require the ability to hear from God. This other part of this. It will require supernatural instruction, not just a student comparing verse with verse, though that is good. But a mystery requires the teaching of the Spirit, or it never becomes clear. And the teaching of the Spirit is the bringing to pass. The Ram said he interprets his word, teaches his word, by bringing it to pass. How we need to hear from God and lay ourselves open and become yielded to the Spirit to hear and know. And as I have already said, this book, Revelation, is the consummation of the Scriptures. And I always thought that, I never thought so much about consummation. I always think about consummation as being the end. But if you go look up consummation, it means the completion of a marriage. It's intercourse. That's what the completion, that's what consummation means. And Brother Branham said that Revelations is the consummation of the Scriptures. You think about him revealing Christ. You think about the union coming at the end. You think about what he said about that first church age, that before the wedding, before the marriage could come, they had went whoring, he said. And you think about, this is the book of Revelation, and it's the consummation of the scriptures. And you think about the day that we're living in. It is ever placed exactly right in the canon of the scripture at the end. Now, you can know why it says that. Anyone who reads or even hears it is blessed. It is the revelation of God that will give you authority over the devil. Revelations. Now, he's talking about the book of Revelations. Now, we mentioned a quote here a while back, and I might bring it the next service. But it is the revelation of the God of God that will give you authority over the devil. And you can see why they who would add or take from it would be cursed. Because you're taking from the revelation of Christ. It's not him anymore. It's that simple. It would have to be so, for who can add or take away from the perfect revelation of God and overcome the enemy? Now look what he's telling is coming right there. The perfect revelation of God. Because that's what's going to overcome the enemy. It is that simple. There is nothing of such prevailing power as the revelation of the word. See, in verse 3, a blessing is pronounced on those who give special attention to this book. It's a blessing put on them. I think this refers to the Old Testament custom of the priest reading the book, the word, to the congregation in the morning. You see, many could not read, so the priest had to read to them. And as long as it was the word, the blessing was there. It didn't matter if it was read or heard. The time is at hand. He's grabbing another verse from what he's where he's been reading. The time was not at hand previously. In the wisdom and economy of God, this mighty revelation, though fully known to God, could not come forth hitherto. This mighty revelation, this book of Revelations, could not come forth hitherto. Thus we immediately learn the principle, the revelation of God for each age can come in that age only. It can only come in that age and at a specific time. Look at the history of Israel. The revelation of God to Moses come only at a specific time of history. And even more specifically, it came as the people cried unto God. Jesus himself came at the fullness of time. He being the complete revelation of the Godhead. And in this age, Laodicean, the revelation of God will come in its due time. Remember what we read a while ago about the two parts of it. It will not falter, and neither will it be premature. Think of this and heed it well, for we are in the end time today. All right, just for a minute. Well, no, we're going to get to that in just a second. Now I want to turn over. He's in the seventh seal here. Turn over to the eighth verse, the first verse of the eighth chapter, Revelations 8:1. We must remember that this seventh seal is the end of time of all things. That's right. The things written in the seven seal book, sealed up, of the plan of redemption from before the foundation of the world. Those things written in that seven seal book. It's the end of all those things. They're coming to an end. It every bit ends. Because you see what he's saying? This book that's sealed up is the book of redemption. And when the book and when redemption is finished, then that ends that. And something else is, I mean, we've been into future home. We've talked about going into eternity. It every bit ends. It is the end. It is the end of the struggling world. It's the end of struggling nature. This is when our birth come, our new birth, real birth. It's the end of everything. In there is the end of the trumpets. It's the end of the vials. Because Brother Bram said all the trumpets end on the sixth seal right before the seventh seal opens. It's the end of the earth. It's even the end of time. Time runs out. And we talked about this the last service or the one before about the time running out for different things. But he's saying all the times run out on the seventh seal. The Bible said so. Brother Bram said that Jesus was the fullness of time when he come on the scene. Because the time for the true Lamb to come had come. Time runs out. The Bible said so. Matthew 7, chapter, he goes on down. Time runs out. The angel said, time will be no more. What did he say when he put his foot down, when he come down on earth? That's when he said time would be no more. When that, in the days of this great thing to happen, everything runs out in this time, the end of it, the end of this seventh seal. Notice, it's the end of the church age. The church age ends on this seal. It's the end of the seven seals. It's the end of the trumpets. It's the end of the vials. All the vials have been poured out. And even ends the ushering in of the millennium. That's on the seventh seal. All this happens on the seventh seal. And now listen to what he says. This is what happens on the seventh seal. This is really good. And I'm sure other people have talked about this. But he just talked about several things that are taking place there. And then look what he says. It's just like firing a rocket into the air. And that rocket explodes. And it goes up. And then it explodes again. See, one thing takes place, and then it causes another thing to take place, and then another one takes place. That rocket explodes here, and then it goes up, then it explodes again. It puts out five stars. One of those stars explodes and blows out five stars from it. And then one of them stars explodes and blows out five stars from it. It fades on out. That's the seventh seal. It just ends the time for the world. All of it. And you know, the time, Brother Bram said, time is still in play until after the millennium. Because that's when everything is done away with. Doesn't mean we're going to be aging and things like that during the millennium. Doesn't mean that. It just means there's still things that are, sin is still allowed to exist. And then one day when it's not allowed to exist anymore, then also all time is gone. That ought to see, people ought to see what eternity is. Eternity is God's perfect will. And time is not his perfect will. It fades on out. That's the seventh seal. It just ends the time for the world. It ends the time for this. It means the time for that. It ends the time for this. It ends the time. Everything just ended up on that seventh seal. He's trying his best to really get that point across. So we always pay attention when he's doing. I always try to pay attention when he's doing that. And here's where he talks about the coming of Christ. Or this, the trumpets, they're very, very fine. I'm looking at it the other day. See, on the sixth seal, all seven trumpets sound right there on that sixth seal. See, just before the seventh seal opens, the coming of Christ. Brother Branham, but I want you to think for just a minute, because we should really think about what he's saying to us. What did he say? He said Jesus was that complete revelation back there. So what coming is he talking about here? He said it's when he comes to receive her, and then when he comes with her. For the Bible is a living foretold witness of Jesus Christ. And as the earth has grown into its fullness. Now, don't miss this. The Bible is a living foretold witness of Jesus Christ. Foretold witness. And as the earth has grown into its fullness, and as also vines grow into their fullness, the day grows into the fullness, its fullness. The Bible was manifested in its fullness in the person of Jesus Christ. It's a living foretold witness, he said. He was the Word of God revealed, the whole complete book of redemption. We were in him, remember. The Bible is God's word, foretelling the future events. Its believers is commanded by its author to read and believe every word of it, not just part of it. One word to disbelieve it, you might as well quit trying until you believe that word. Every word is absolutely a part of Almighty God. I don't think people read this message that way. And until they do, they're not going to get it. God made manifest, wound into his word to show forth who he is. He wound himself into his word to show forth who he is. We are commanded as believers to believe every word of it. And it's wrote by the author of God himself. There's nobody can add anything to it or take anything from it. If you would, it would be a freak of body of God. It would have maybe like 6 fingers on one hand or 3 arms or something to add something, to take something away from it and be one arm short and one finger short. It's the complete body of Jesus Christ. And in Christ, being the male, the groom, the bride is represented in him also. And these two are one. You know, I haven't went down and started talking about the seals are this and the thunders are that, and the trumpets are this, and going into all those things. I may one day, but I want you to understand this is that. This is what that revealed. These things that he's telling us, the things we saw taking place in his life, the things that God was doing, that is what was taking place. That was the opening of the seals. That was the thunders that come forth. This revelation of us as being one with him is, it's not the revelation they had in the church ages. It is not. At that day, you'll know that I am in the Father in me, I in you, and you in me. What a complete picture. That's when you'll know. And the true believers in this word, who accept it that way, believe it, they accept it, that it's God's word, and believe it, and with patience wait for its prophesied promises, every one of them to be manifested in its age. Every believer has watched for it. Every believer has been on the toes watching is the ones that's been revealed to. Remember us talking about Daniel there for a while, how he was on his toes. He was looking for it. He knew it was the end of those 70 years. And brother and sister, we know where we're at. We don't have to guess. We know where we're at. Every believer that's been on their toes watching is the ones that's been revealed to. Are we on our toes? Yeah, I put there on the forum that every time I go to the message, almost every time I go there, there's something there waiting. I'll see a little something there every time. And I don't believe I'm special. But we can keep him waiting far too long. Don't ever keep him waiting. Go to the message. God's intention for his creation, man. Now, this is God's intention from the very beginning. Now, we've read this quote a bunch of times. And I'm not reading this to focus on Adam. In the past, we've focused on Adam. If people are not going to believe what Brother Branham said about Adam, then that's up to them. God's intention for his creation, man, is to express his words. So he was going to have man, and that man was going to express his words. All of them. And in Genesis, Adam was given the word to live by. Now, take Brother Branham's definition. He was given the word to live by. A word, a life lived by the word would be the word expressed. Now, that isn't that what he wanted man to do? Express his words. And if he lived that life, that's what that would be. His words expressed. That is true, is it not? But did Adam live by that word? No. So, Brother Chris didn't say it. Brother Branham said it. No, because he was to live by every word, and he failed to take heed to every word. So did he fulfill that intention that God had? His intention was that man would express his words, and he did not fulfill that intention. Because that intention would have been the interpretation of the word. Because Brother Branham said, he interprets his word by doing what? Bringing it to pass. All right. So Adam didn't bring it to pass, so that wasn't God doing that. It wasn't God causing him to do that. All right, so I said I wasn't on Adam, but I want you to see what's now. And see that God is doing the interpreting. He always was doing the interpreting. Then there arose Moses. What a great and mighty man he was. Yet he also failed to live by every word. And that prophet, the type of the great prophet to come, failed in anger to obey the word. And there was also David, the great king of Israel, a man after God's own heart. Excuse me. He failed by adultery when he was tempted. But eventually, in the fullness of time, God's intention was fulfilled. His intention was that man would fulfill what he said and express his word. And eventually, so you see what that fullness of time is. Man wasn't expressing his all of his word. So there was time. But in the fullness of time is when man expressed all of his word. That's what and remember what he said at the beginning, because that wasn't all of it. He said that was the complete revelation of God, but that there was more to it than that. There was more of it. Maybe say it that way, because you can't have more than the complete revelation of God, but there was more of. There was the female part. But eventually, in the fullness of time, there come one, the head, even Jesus. There come the head. The head had never come. Now come the head. The head had always been going to come. Now, and here come the head. There come one, the head, even Jesus, who also must be tempted to see if he would live by every word. He's got to live the life too. Or he's not the word. He who also must be tempted. Now, when I say that, and we're born into this world, and we're not living the word, does that mean that there's not a seed down in there? It doesn't mean that. There's a seed down in there. But the word has not become the word yet. That's what Brother Branham said. In this last day, the Word becomes the Word in this union. That's what brings it. Who also must be tempted to see if he would live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Then Satan was foiled. Because Jesus gave the reins to God. And he said, whatever the Father's doing, that's what I'm doing. I'm not doing anything else but that. Then was Satan foiled. For here was one who lived by it is written. And that masterpiece of God, it was a masterpiece of God that overcome by reflecting God's word. Then was the manifested perfect one given to the cross. The manifested perfect one. There's no perfect one except the manifested perfect one. To the cross as the perfect Lamb of God for the perfect sacrifice. And where were we? We were there in him. Mm-hmm. And on the tree, he received the wounds unto death, that we by him and because of him, that we by him and because of him might eat of the tree of life. God wanted to make that, he wanted to make that known. That by him and because of him, we would eat of that tree. By him and because of him, we would partake of eternal life. And no other way. That's the way he wanted it. We were, the male always gives life to the female. There's no way around it. And on the tree, he received the wounds unto death, that we by him and because of him might eat of the tree of life, and then that life freely given would enable us to overcome and do what? Express the word of God, the intention that God had for man. And now to these sons of God who by him overcome are given the privilege of paradise of God in the constant fellowship of Jesus Christ. What a gift. There will never more be any separation from him. Whether he goes, his bride will go. What he is, he shares with his beloved on a joint heir relationship. Those that come in the second resurrection, they don't have this. They're not in a joint heir relationship with Christ. Didn't mean he didn't save them, but they don't have this. Remember what he said? A special designation. Look up that word. It's in the, I think it's in the Church Ages book. He shares with his beloved on a joint heir relationship. The secret things will be revealed. The dark things will be made plain. So all those things that keep us from seeing as we are seen, they'll go away. They'll fade away in this washing of this perfect word. The dark things will be made plain. We shall know as we are known. And we shall be like him. This is the heritage of the overcomer, who has overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of testimony to Jesus Christ. And that new birth in this day is what that was. There had never been a birth like that. Because it was the manifestation of the Lamb's life. That's what that was. It's what it is in your heart. In Laodicea, in the Church Age book there. Now, I said a moment ago that the false vine came into full fruitation in this age. If it's full fruitation, it ain't got nowhere else to go. It shows exactly what it is. It comes to full fruitation. Now, listen to what, not only are they coming to full fruitation, but look at the others. This is correct. This evil-spirited church, full of iniquity, will be revealed as the mustard seed that grew into a tree wherein lodged the fowls of the air. And at her head will be the Antichrist, the mystery of iniquity. All this has been made plain. There's none of this hiding from us now. All this is true. And if this is true, then it must also be true that the bride will be mature. She'll be mature because she's not in the church anymore. She's put out along with Christ. And if this is true, then it must also be true that the bride church will mature and her ripeness shall be an identification with her Lord. Her ripening by this light shows the fruit that she is and shows that she is of him by means of the word. And her head will come to her in the mystery of godliness. And her head, who will come to her, is the mystery of godliness, which indeed is Christ. And as the false church, which will cunning, with all cunning and diabolical power, made up of political force, physical force, and demons of darkness, come against this true vine. He said physical force and political force as they come against this true vine. The true vine with the fullness of the Spirit and the Word will do the very acts of power that Jesus done as they come against her. Then as she nears her headstone, becoming like him through the word, Jesus will come that the bride and groom may be forever united as one. Going on down here to Philadelphia. Yes, there he stands, the Lord of glory. Once as the Father, he was surrounded by angels, the archangels, the cherubims and the seraphims, and the whole host of heaven crying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts." That's where he was first. Such was his holiness that no man could approach unto him. But now we see him in the church sharing his holiness with us. There he is in the church sharing the holiness with us. Until in him we have become the very righteousness of God. That sounds like a marriage, don't it? Yes, and there he stands, Jesus, perfect everything, lily of the valley, the bright and morning star, the fairest of 10,000, Alpha and Omega, root and offspring of David, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, the all in all. And Isaiah 9:6 tells us, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." In him is perfect fulfillment. Though once we esteemed him not, now we love him with joy unspeakable and full of glory. In the midst of the church he stands, and we will sing his praise. For the mighty conqueror is head over the church, which is his bride. He bought that bride. He owns her. She is his and his alone. And he cares for her. He's bought us and he cares for her. He is our king And we are his kingdom, his eternal possession. That means we were always his possession, always. But he has to show it and unveil it to us, to show us what we are and who we are. In invisible union, we're coming to a close here. And Jesus, the Word, took my place. He become me, that a sinner, that I might become him, the Word. Amen. Let me hold true to that, not the church. Let me hold true to what the Word says and not to the church. The Word. Amen. Oh, that spiritual union of Christ and his church now, when the flesh is becoming Word and the Word is becoming flesh. It's taking place, manifested, vindicated. Just what the Bible said would happen in this day. It's happening day by day. Why? It's accumulating so fast out there in those deserts. Now, he's explaining to you what he just said about the Word becoming flesh and the flesh becoming Word. What did he say? The flesh is becoming Word and the Word is becoming flesh, manifested, vindicated. And he goes on down. Why, it's accumulating so fast out there in those deserts and things taking place. So him out there on the backside of that desert and things that are taking place, it's accumulating so fast. This union that's taking place that I couldn't even keep up with it. We're near the coming of Jesus to be united with his church, where the Word becomes the Word. Call of the Holy Spirit searching our hearts. The Word becomes the Word. Now, what is he talking about? Why does the Word need to become the Word when it's already the Word? You think about how many times we've talked about that spoken seed word. It was there. It was always there. When you were born into this world, it was there. Even though you didn't act anything like it, it was still there. And God, through predestination, was still bringing that to pass. No matter how much mess you got into, which direction you went, God was still bringing it to pass. Remember he talked about that lily? He talked about it being down there at the bottom. And he said, it's still growing up. It's down in all that filthiness. You can't see any of its glory yet, he said. It's just growing up through all that muddy water. But when it broke the top of the water, then you can see it all there. That's what he's talking about, what this message has been all this time. The Word's always been there. It's never not been there. It was spoken by God. It had to take place. When he spoke way back there, he spoke all the seeds. They all had to take place. And there was one seed of man. And that was Jesus Christ. And all things belong to him. We know that. All things have been given unto him. And we know that's God. We know we're a part of that. And so it makes us so happy to know those things. And I was thinking about all the different ways we talked about last Sunday or last Wednesday. We talked about how that little woman was being revealed down there. And I got to thinking about Moses being revealed. You know, Moses, he was that prophet. And God was going to reveal him as the prophet because it was going to be God in Moses that take Israel out. But Moses tried to do it himself. Tried to reveal it himself. Tried to take his own intellect and make it happen. And made a mess. And that's what everybody... There's so many other places in the Bible that's like that. There's so many other examples like that. Nobody knew that when Joseph was born into that family and they didn't like him because he was favored. His daddy kind of showed favoritism to him and they didn't like him. Nobody knew that he was their salvation. But God already had that laid out And he was going to bring that to pass. And that's what he brought to pass. He brought to pass that Joseph was their salvation. And then through doing that, he wrote all that part of the Bible that typed Christ later on and was fulfilled later on in Christ. And I'm saying all that to say that it ain't over. That's not the end of it. That was just the beginning of things. And we're just now coming into this birth now, this new birth that we have. And that God can use, he's still using to write his Bible and do things. We tend to let Satan try to get in our minds and limit it. But God will do whatever he wants to do. If we'll give him what Brother Ram said a while ago, give him his freedom to do whatever he wants to do. Quit. We listen to the word. And when we see God saying, this is the interpretation of that, because you'll see it. God will show you where, which way to go and which way to turn. You might not know it at the time, but I believe we're going to know. When he says do something, we'll know. Because Brother Jesus said that I do nothing unless the Father first shows me. And if we have that same spirit, then we should have the same testimony. It shouldn't be any different at all. If we're supposed to be Jesus Christ on earth, representing Christ on earth, then it should be represented the same. And if God done it in him, he'll do it in his children. But not if we're not looking for it. Not if we're not expecting it. If we place that off and make it something else and make it somewhere else, then what we're expecting the wrong thing. And we have to be expecting what God wanted us for us in this day, in this hour. So don't let Satan tell you anything else but what the word says. That's all. If I get up here and I tell you something that ain't right, you don't believe it. I don't think the Holy Spirit in you will let you do it. And I don't think he'll let me come up here and say something wrong. But if I slip a tongue or something like that, you know what the truth is. The Holy Spirit is showing you the truth. You might not sit down and see some of these things and line up some of these things, but you know the truth when you hear the truth. The scripture says that his children know his voice, and a stranger they won't follow. So we're following him. We're following his voice. And his voice was this prophet. And we don't get to add to it. We don't get to take away from it. We don't get to try to explain it. We get to say what he says and point out what he says. Man, I don't believe that he brought a message in this day that somebody needs to explain it. I'm not talking about we don't get up here and point things out. But what I'm saying is you don't need to further interpret what's already been interpreted. That's what I'm saying. God will do the interpreting, not you, not me, not anybody else. That makes sense. We don't. God might interpret the word through you, but you don't do it. And when he gave us this word, there is no eighth messenger. There was this messenger, and that's the only one. And we follow what he said, not what somebody's idea of this is. And we have to be trusting him. If we get all worried that this is, well, that's not the way God leads. We have peace in him, and he leads us the way he wants us to go. And so that's all I got. Some people's good at, like, starting with the small talk to round off things and start with small talk to round them up. And I don't. I'm straight edges is all that's on there. Y'all, I appreciate you putting up with me. And I appreciate his word so much. I'm going to ask if you'll stand. Yeah, I did want to sing one, and I forgot what it was. God is so good. Yeah. Okay. is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. He took my sin. He took my my sin. He's so good to me.
Here I am free.
Now I am free. Now now I am free. He's so good to me. He answers prayer. He answers prayer. He answers prayer. He's so good to me. I love him so. I love him so.
Amen. That's good.